for the kind words of introduction. Thank you, Dr. Gibbs, for inviting me to speak on this great occasion. And I salute Dr. Gibbs for the great job he's doing as minister of this great church. You're blessed to have this man of God. And I'm thankful that I had a little part to play in his development as a minister. He commended me the other day in the board meeting for giving him the first chance to speak as a student on the national lectureship at Southwestern, and he said that was the beginning of his preaching career. I'm thankful for him and his wife and all that they're doing for the cause of Christ. I want to commend the elders for their love for Southwestern Christian College. As a member of the board of directors, we want to express appreciation for what you've done in the last month or two for the securing of Southwestern Christian College. And we are thankful that Dr. Gibbs is serving in the interim president at Southwestern Christian College. Your support, your understanding that Christian education will be secure. I bring you words of greetings from the Newark Church, where I've been the preacher for 51 years, been preaching for 62 years, been married, husband of one wife, for 53 years, and I don't feel no ways tired yet. It's good to see some of the members, just a few of them left, from Hamilton Park. I remember those days when I used to come and preach at Hamilton Park, and it was just a little church over in Hamilton Park by itself. But look at it now. Brother Hart, Brother Philip, and I asked for Johnny Rogers, and I understand he's away this weekend. But we're thankful to God for all of these men and women who have stood for the development of this great church. And those of you who clock the preacher, don't you clock me now. These are preliminary remarks. And I want to thank you for putting the railing up here. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. I used to think railings were just a waste of money. But now I don't. I used to not even see them, but now I look for them. And I thank God, because coming up these stairs at my age is not easy. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Good to see a number of ministers in the audience. And we want you to know that we appreciate your presence so very, very much. And Brother Maxwell from Roosevelt, New York, and others who are in the audience, we thank God for you. If you are visiting with us today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We want you to know you are our honored guests. And it is a great privilege to have you embracing this audience. And we trust that something will be said this morning to cause you to get on the Lord's side. Something will be said this morning to encourage you to put your hands in the hands of the man who stilled the water, and let that man be your bridge over troubled waters. With Trump almost in the White House, we need Jesus more than we have ever needed him before. Oh, Lady Sarah, if ever there was a time that we needed the Lord, we sure enough need him now. I am restricted in time. I can't do that. We have a lot of things going today at Southwestern. And I'm an hour preacher. But I won't preach an hour this morning. I don't think I will. Now, if I get happy up here and get started, only the Lord knows when I shall end. Revelation 21. And I want to commence reading with verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How much is heaven worth to you? How much is heaven worth to you? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. The beauties of heaven exceed anything that any mortal mind can ever imagine. There is no place on earth that offers such a utopian atmosphere as heaven. Even though 1 Corinthians 2:9 applies to the coming of the Christian dispensation, when the gospel would be proclaimed to all men, it can be used to describe the glories of heaven. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building eternally in the heavens, not made with hands. For in this we groan and earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Take off your shoes. For the ground we're about to walk on is holy ground. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible. It was written about 97 AD. God's people were under great persecution by the Roman Empire, and the Christians raised the question, how long must we suffer? And the book of Revelation is written in apocalyptic language in order to encourage the people of God and tell them it won't be very long. How long? Not long. Because God is still on the throne. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, was left on this lonely, rocky, isolated island called Patmos. He was left there to die. But the Holy Ghost stepped in and gave him some revelation about things to come. And the scene here moves to eternity after the end of time, when all the enemies of God have been destroyed, following the last and final judgment of all men. And when the long drama of human struggle and temptation have been concluded, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more seas. And John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen, better than the 6 o'clock news. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. If that would be only one reason for me to go to heaven, no more pain, no more arthritis pain, no more rheumatism pain, no more spinal stenosis pain, no more pain. I get up in the morning, I have pain. During the day, I have pain. At night, I have pain. I wake up and pain won't let me alone. I got knee pains, I got toe pains, I got back pains. Help me, Lord. But up in heaven, there'll be no more pain. Glory, hallelujah. For the former things have passed away. In heaven, the glory of God will illuminate everything. In heaven, love will saturate everything. In heaven, grace and mercy and favor will penetrate everything. In heaven, nothing will ever be devastating, aggravating, frustrating, violating, and separating. In heaven, the children of God will suffer pain no more, endure no more trials, encounter no more temptation, carry no more burden in heaven. No more perplexing problems. No more frustrating failures. No more being attacked by enemies. In heaven, no more tormenting troubles. In heaven, never shocked by tragedies. In heaven, never hindered by hardships. In heaven, never forsaken by family and friend. It'll be always howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. So if anybody asks you where I'm going, you tell them for me that I'm going. That I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. And I can take the pain and the heartaches that they bring, because the comfort is in knowing that I'll soon be gone. Going to be with my Lord. How much is heaven worth to you? How much is heaven worth to you? When you die, you're not like Rover. You won't be dead all over. Don't let the professors tell you that you're just only breath. But man is more than dust. Man has a soul, and the soul is everlasting. After death, there is a judgment. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after death is a judgment. After the judgment, John, Mary, there are only two places to go. Jesus, I need some help in here. after death and the judgment, there are only two places to go: heaven or hell. Someone said, I don't believe in hell. Well, you don't have to believe in hell to go to hell. Just don't do what God said, and hell will be your portion. There are only two places to go: after death and the judgment. You're going to one or the other. The question that is on the floor for your penetrating scrutiny: how much is heaven worth to you? I'm not asking you how much your family is worth to you. I'm not asking you how much your job is worth to you. I'm not asking you how much is your retirement plan worth to you. My question is, how much is heaven worth to you? Heaven is worth being born again. Heaven is worth being born again. It's an awful thing for any man or woman to live on planet Earth for 10, 15, 20, 30, and 40 years and not a child of God. Except a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand him. So he said in verse 5 of John chapter 3, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you want to go to heaven, child, you got to be born again. Mama can't be born again for you. Daddy can't be born again for you. You got to be born again for yourself. Have you? How many of you go to the gym? I go. And one of the things I observe in the gym is that everybody has to work out for himself. Can I get a witness in here? You may have a personal trainer, and the trainer shows you what to do and demonstrates it for you. But you have to exercise for yourself. I see people on the treadmill just going. That's not me. You'll never see me on no treadmill. I have certain exercises that my body can take that I do. But you can't watch somebody else exercise and get the benefit thereof. Can I preach a little? You got to be born again. You have to be baptized for the remission of your sin. Baptism is for the remission of sin, and it's worth it. Someone said, well, I don't think it's necessary to get in the water and change my clothes and take off all my clothes and get in baptized in clothes and put on a cap and keep my hair from being messed up. I just don't think that's necessary. But if you want to go to heaven, being baptized for the remission of your sin is worth it. Am I right about it? How much is heaven worth to you? Heaven is worth going to church in the rain, in the cold. I'm not going to say in Dallas in the snow, because when the snow comes here, the town shuts down. But if I were in Newark, I would say it's worth coming in the snow, because we have snow removal equipment. You put sand down. Can I preach a little while in hell? But heaven is worth going to church in inclement weather. How much is heaven worth to you? Heaven is worth forgiving my enemies and loving my enemies, doing good unto all men, treating people right. Heaven is worth being mistreated, lied on, scandalized, called everything but a child of God. How much is heaven worth to you? Heaven is worth being the only member of your family who's a member of the Church of Christ. It's worth that. You go to the family reunions and they ostracize you. They won't give you the best peach cobbler. You know, certain ones in the family know how to make peach cobbler, and others don't know how, so they'll give you that bad peach cobbler. Help me, somebody. They'll keep the best potato pie from you. But heaven is worth being the only one in your family, a member of the Church of Christ, and you holding on until the end. Heaven is worth staying out of sinful places of entertainment, nightclubs, cocktail lounges, taverns in the happy hour. Ain't get no help in here. Can I preach a little while in here? Heaven is worth not playing the lottery or gambling. Can I get a witness in hell? It's worth it. Y'all left me. I got one amen. No soprano amens, no alto amen. But it's right on truth anyhow. How much is heaven worth to you? What's in heaven? God the Father is there. Christ the Son is there. God, the Holy Spirit, is there. Our treasures are there. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth corrupt, thief break in and steal. But lay your treasures up in heaven. What else is up there? Your name is written up yonder, up in heaven. And what you need to do is to become a Christian. How does a man become a Christian? He cannot lay his hand on the radio and become a Christian. He cannot listen to Joel Osteen
who believes nothing and preaches nothing. And at the end of his sermon, he says, if anybody wants to be saved, repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Ain't no sinner's prayer in the Bible. Am I right about it? If a man or woman wants to be saved, he does not tarry for the anointing, waiting for something to come down. Hit him in the top of his head and electrocute him and go all down to the sole of his feet. And then he starts running, jumping, and shouting, saying something got a hold of me. And it must have been the Holy Ghost. Amen. Folk ought to quit lying on the Holy Ghost. Beyonce will make you jump, shout, and run. And the Holy Ghost had nothing to do with it. And you know James Brown used to do that. Yes, sir, he'd make you run, jump, and shout. Holy Ghost had nothing to do with it. What must a person do to be saved? That's the question. What must he do? I'm letting this soak in and process in your mind. There are some people left who are honest, who are sincere, and when they learn better, they are willing to do better. We had a man to come to Bible class on Thursday night in Newark. It came the first time, and he admitted he heard some things he never heard in all of his life. I let him know that denominationalism was wrong. He missed the next week, but he came the following week. So he told me, when I go to church, I don't go with denominationalism in my mind. I just go to be saved. He thought he had said something very profound. I said, but where you go is a denomination. And you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth in denominationalism. Now, I know this is old-time preaching. You don't get too much of that. Most of our preachers are pulpit cuties, and they don't make it plain. If you learn about the Church of Christ, you're going to learn it on your own, because they ain't going to tell you. I let him know, you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth in denominationalism. And I asked him, do you want to be saved? He said, yes. I said, you're not playing with me, are you? He said, I really want to be saved. I said, when? He said, tonight. And we baptized him that Thursday night. There are honest people who want to know the truth. And heaven was worth coming out of the church that his mama and daddy and his relatives were buried in. He brought it up. He brought it up. And I told him that if your mama and your daddy had heard and learned what you did, they probably would have changed too. Help me, Lord Jesus. I'm trying to sit down. I'm trying to quit. My question is, how much is heaven worth to you? If you want to go to heaven, you come by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. John 8, 24, the Lord said explicitly, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And he was not trying to be politically correct. He said, if you die in your sin, what I am, you cannot come. And then man must repent of his sin. Luke 13, 3 and 5. And this is most folk problem. They don't want to repent. They want to drink all the liquor they can and chase all the women they can and then be a good Christian. Help me, Lord Jesus. You got to repent. So I don't know what repentance means. That means if you've been beating your husband, you can't beat him no more. Now, I don't know how I got over here. And nothing but sisters over here. I ain't talking to you, young lady. I'm just trying to illustrate. So don't you go away saying, Brother Lawton is picking on me this morning. I don't even know you. Good God Almighty. I'm looking at Brother Worthy right now. Brother Worthy, if your wife been beating you, she can't beat you no more. That's what repentance is all about. And then you have to repent. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Acts 8, 37. And then you go to baptism. Acts 2, 37 and 38. You got to be baptized for the remission of your sin in water. Acts 22, 16. Arise! And be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. And when you do that, he'll translate you out of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of God's dear Son. You'll be born again. You'll become a child of God. You'll be justified, purified, sanctified, glorified. And God will start blessing you like he never, you've been blessing all of your life. Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet when God starts blessing you. Do I have a witness in here? Does anybody in here know that he'll look after you? Does anybody know he'll put food on your table? Does anybody know he'll put a roof over your head? Does anybody know that he'll make a way out of no way? Oh, just hold on to God's unchanging hand. And whatever stuff you have to go through, heaven is worth it. I'm going to trade my earthly home for the better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in the land where tears and sorrow cannot be found. And then, I'll receive my robe, my mansion, and my crown. Does anybody in here want his robe and his mansion and his crown? The weather there is always fair. There's no sunshine day and night. No cold, no rain will ever fall there, for the sun shines ever bright. I'll need no heavy garments. I'll just wrap my robe around when I receive my mansion, my robe, and my crown. No tears in heaven. No sorrow. given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness. All will be gladness when we shall join that happy land. When the saved get to heaven. What a day. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And when the saved see Jesus, what a marvelous day that will be. Oh, I want to see him. Yes, I do. Oh, I want to see him. Just to look upon his face. I ain't going to ask him for nothing. I'm just going to thank him. Thank him. Thank him. And just thank him. How much is heaven worth to you? Whatever you have to give up to please Jesus is worth it. Let me sound my trumpet. Can I tell you what I want to tell you? How much is heaven worth to you? It's worth giving up, shacking up. How much? Young folk are not the only one that shack up either. Some of these old folk in the senior citizen complex, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, the man on rollers, rolling his way over to Sister Lucy's house. Can I preach a little while in here? The Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. How much? How much is heaven worth to you? If heaven is worth anything you tonight, today, make it well with your soul. If you're not a Christian, everything is ready to come. If you are a child of God fallen by the wayside, you ought to come on back home. Rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus, because heaven is worth everything. Young man, young lady, you're not going to always have those triceps and biceps. Young lady, you're not going to always be 98 pounds of clay. Get married and have 2 or 3 babies and no more in the 90s. I'm saying to you, young people, you need the Lord. Those of you millennium, you need the Lord. You can't text your way to heaven. And you can't email your way to heaven either. You got to come by Jesus Christ. Won't you come now as we stand and sing?
Somebody's knocking at your door. And somebody's knocking at your door. Well, an old sinner, why don't you answer? Say, somebody's knocking at your door.